Thank you, Andy. You know, from the great celebration we had last week with our 50th anniversary, I know that most of us in here can remember back 30 years ago. Well, there's a few. There's one, two, there's this whole group up here. I don't think they remember that far back. But most of us do remember back 30 years ago, and that at that time, we were attending Sabbath services at the old War Memorial Building down there in downtown Nashville. And there were several of us that were teaching the children at that time the YES classes. And those were really good lessons in classes that we held down there. But in those lessons, we taught key scriptures that the children had to memorize. And one of those key scriptures that was part of their memory work was Colossians 3:20. You know, at the turn there, I'll go ahead and read it for you. It says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Very, very important there. It brings out the fifth commandment, of course. And to help our kids memorize these key scriptures, you know, we come up with different ideas ourselves of how we were going to do it, but we went ahead and we asked them, we said, you know, what are some of your ideas of that would help you learn these scriptures and, you know, keep these in your mind and that you can remember and that you can learn to make right choices in your life with the rest of your life? And here were some of the ideas. "I will write them 100 times on a piece of paper," one said. "I will have my mom and dad read them to me." Some said, "I will put them on the refrigerator so I can see them." And then there was some that said, well, you know, we can help each other memorize them. Well, for the most part, most of the ideas that they came up with really worked. They did a really good job, and when we would ask them to recite their memory work, for the most part, most of them really had it down, you know, and they could actually do it. We were all well pleased, and, you know, we had the kids going in the right direction, we thought. We thought we were doing our job there, and when they could recite their memory work, you know, we thought, hey, it's sticking in their mind, and we got it going on here. But a little bit later on, we discovered that there was still a problem in just teaching the kids to memorize these key scriptures and actually doing them. There was something left out. There was a family, of course I'm not going to mention any names, that attended back then, and it's sad to say they don't attend anywhere right now, I don't think. I haven't heard from these people in a long time. But they had a daughter that was about 10 or 12 years old back then. And she was actually one of our star students. She was very vocal. She would like to get up and recite different scriptures and things. She was one of our star pupils there. And I remember one day her mother came to us and she said, you know, me and my husband, we really appreciate all that all of you are doing and teaching our children, but there's still something missing. So, of course, we had to ask, you know, what is missing? Well, the mother says, you know, she explained to us. She says, you know, I work at my job all day long, and sometimes I need help and cooperation at home in just keeping the house straightened up. You know, that's very normal, and that's the case with a lot of households where they need the kids to help, you know, pick things up, straighten things up. And she went on to say, one afternoon when she got home from work, she asked her daughter to help clean up the living room, which is also the title of today's sermon, Clean Up Your Living Room. And her daughter said no. I don't know if the daughter was having a bad day or what kind of an attitude or what the problem was. I didn't delve into that at that time. But the daughter just flat said, no, I'm not going to do it. Then the mother asked her, well, what about your memory verse? children, obey your parents. And the daughter said, well, you know, in class, I only have to memorize it. That doesn't mean I have to do it. Lost the point completely why she was memorizing what God wanted her to do and what God wants all of us to do. We can tag that to ourselves as well, too. But this is a very, very typical human nature attitude of rebellion. You know, and this rebellion is completely and totally encouraged by Satan and his demons. And from time to time, it's very typical of all of us grown-ups as well, too, no matter what age that we are. If we're in a bad attitude one day or something is not going right, we will want to do things our way, and we will forget that we are to obey our father, our parent. We as adults, longtime members in the church, we sometimes have that same attitude about God's word. If we don't have a very, very close relationship with our Heavenly Father, if we are not careful, we will start thinking with the same attitude as this little girl and saying to ourselves, I just have to hear God's word, listen to the sermons, write down some notes, maybe read a few scriptures, but I don't have to do it. I'll do it my way. I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed anybody, haven't robbed a bank. You know, Satan is broadcasting these negative attitudes for all of us so that we will become to have a dull mind. Let's turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, and let's read verses 11 through 14 there. Of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but now you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. We can let ourselves get into a rut, and we will forget the things that we have proved many, many years ago. We have to have that close relationship with God, otherwise we'll lose contact. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. Well, full of age means maturity. Now, you don't have to be 100 years old to be full of age, but be mature in the teachings of God and what He wants us to know. For those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, if you are living by God's word, if you are reading God's word daily and studying, you'll become mature. You'll begin to develop the right habits in our lives so that we can be living our lives according to the way God wants us to live, so that we can eventually have the character of our Father, our God in heaven, and eventually be in His kingdom, be in His family. So we ask ourselves the question, how does one continue to hear, remember, obey, and live by every word of God? What is the secret to pleasing our Father? Mainly, it's to eat God's spiritual food every day. Study God's word. Eat God's spiritual food every day. He is giving us more than enough on this buffet. We have all of the booklets. We have God's Holy Bible. We have videos. We have audios. We have much on the buffet of God's spiritual food that we can partake of. Well, you know, Jesus gave us the answer, and of course, He is our example to follow. And He gave us this example in John 6:38. And it says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. I want to thank Tim Spaulding for bringing out God's will in his sermonette as well, too. God works these things together. That is the key, to give up on our will and to do the will of the one who sent me, is what Jesus was saying there. He's our example. Rather than seeking our own will, set it aside and avoid it and do the will of the Father. We have a short time on this earth to be doing that. Let's do turn to John 6. Turn back to John 6. And let's go ahead and read verses 38 through 40. Jesus is speaking here. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, he is talking about us. He's talking about all the ones in the past that he has called, that he has been teaching and working with, that he has given me, I should not lose nothing, but should raise up in the last day. What's God going to do when he returns back to this earth? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are still alive will meet them in the air. Verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That is the goal, that we want to be part of that. Then also let's turn to Ephesians 5. Tim was speaking there in Ephesians 5 as well, which is fine. God's word can be repeated over and over, of course. And let's go through Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. Paul says, see that you walk circumspectly. Well, that means to be careful how you walk, how you live your life, careful how you do things. You have to ask yourself the question, how would God want me to be living in this situation that we pick, that we choose? This life is full of choices. Many times every day, God wants us to think about those choices, and he wants us to live carefully to be in obedience to him. Not as fools, but as wise, as those who are reading God's word, studying God's word, eating the spiritual food every day that God is providing for us. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are very much living in the evil times. Bad things are happening. There are people trying to take over the world and rule the world. Then in verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is, what the will of the Lord is. We have to be thinking about exactly what God wants us to do and what we should be doing. Now let's go ahead and we will hear the story of Paul again. Let's go back to Acts 22. What a prime example this man was, and what God has done with him since then. And I was going to paraphrase part of the story, but I better just go ahead and read it because it's really worth hearing this story here in verse 22. Verse 22, and we'll start reading then. Men, brethren, fathers, hear my defense before you now, Paul is speaking. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all of the more silent. Yeah, he was speaking their language. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus, of Cilicia there, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are today. And then in verse 4, I persecuted this way. He persecuted the teachings of God because he was taking on the job that he thought that God wanted him to do to whip these people into believing instantly. And he persecuted them to death, even, binding them and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. That's some of the things that that the Muslims have on their mind today. They want to take over the world, and they will just as soon cut your head off if you don't bow down and believe the way that they want you to believe. And Paul did this to both men and women. Verse 5, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also receive letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were in, who were there to Jerusalem. He brought them to Jerusalem to be punished. He was going to make sure that they were going to listen to him and obey the way that he wanted them to. Then in verse 6, now it happened, as I journeyed and came near a Damascus, and this was about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone on all around me, he says there, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me, Paul says, indeed saw the light, and they were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him, of Jesus, who spoke to me. Then in verse 10, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? I mean, Paul really got the point there when he was blinded there by the light on the road to Damascus. And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed to you to do. God had a plan for Saul, had a plan for him. You know, he was so zealous, and God was going to use that. Then in verse 11, and since I could not see, he was still blind, for the glory of that light, being led by the hand by those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all of the Jews who dwelt there. Verse 13, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. God allowed the healing there of Paul's eyesight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will. Well, you know, out of all of the billions of people, God has chosen me and you to know his will. And it's highly important that we stay close to God and we practice learning and reading over and over what God's will is for us today, and knowing that we have a future that is going to be even more tremendous, of course. And see the just one. Who is the just one? Jesus. And hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. What are we called to do? Exactly the same thing as Paul. Exactly the same. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have heard and seen. We need to be letting God's light shine. We need to be living our lives that people will look upon and say, yeah, I want to be like that person. They have something that I need to know. Then in verse 16, and now, Paul was told, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We are called, And God will use us just the same as he called and is using Paul. He just didn't strike us blind on the road to Damascus. We thank God for that. But we are called. Now, Paul was very zealous. He was very zealous in the wrong way. He was wanting to take charge and say to himself, you know, I'm rough and tough, and I can do this job for you, God, and I'm going to break heads, kill people, whatever I got to do it. He had the zeal in the wrong path here. And he did many bad things against God's people. But God put a stop to that and got Paul's attention, and he explained to Paul how he was going to use his zeal according to his will and not Paul's will. Now, that's an attitude that we need to think about real close here. As we are learning God's will and letting God lead us in his will instead of us going ahead and say, well, you know, I think I can do it another way. Or I can do this. I can circumvent that. We need to be very precise to know what God's will is and to do God's will. Each of us are called for that special purpose. Now and also in the future. And God is preparing a people. He is preparing a people for his family. He is getting the bride ready for the marriage to Christ. Again, what should we be doing? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How plain can it be to keep the commandments? Well, you know, we can gloss over the commandments and say, well, yeah, I can memorize those and I can recite them. But we need to delve a little deeper into each one of the commandments. We need to read into those because it is God's will. It is God's will. God the Father will know that you love his Son, who is our Savior, if we obey and live by every word of God. God's very serious about that. He wants us to live by every word that comes out of his mouth. He is our Father. He created us. Living our lives in obedience to all that God says that we are to do, what does it do? Well, there's some really good benefits here. If we are living in obedience to God every day, it simplifies our life. It simplifies your life because it eliminates the questions of right and wrong. We are learning the habits, or we should be learning the habits, of choosing rightly according to God's will. We will know how to choose without confusion. Choosing rightly brings us another great benefit. And that great benefit is peace of mind. You know, in this crazy world that is so quick and fast and rolling by, it brings a lot of tension, a lot of stress, causes a lot of worry on people's minds. And if you're not obeying God's laws, that impacts it even more because you know better and you're doing differently. You don't have peace of mind. But choosing rightly brings us the peace of mind that we all need and we all long for. And that is a very wonderful blessing. Living our lives, obeying our Heavenly Father, you know, as he is our parent, has other good benefits as well, too, for us and our families and our spouses. We know that to have a happy marriage, each one of us has to be in tune with God. We have to both be wanting to obey God and to do God's will. And each of us should always be looking for ways that we can bless and do things for our spouse. You become one person. And by doing so, we are learning to have love of Christ, and preparing ourselves to be part of the marriage at Christ's return. You know, so marriage is highly important for us to think about. For any of us to be changed into a spirit being, That's what we want to have happen to us. That is the ultimate of being saved. Completely being saved is to be changed into a spirit being and permitted to live in the family of God. We have to know God's will and the character of God that we need to be growing in daily. Know the way that God thinks, the way He wants us to live, and to emulate that, to grow in God's character. If we know God's will, then we will be choosing rightly. If we have the character of God, we will have all of those habits in us that we will be choosing and thinking the way that He does and living it. And it's all based really on one word. God is love. And if we think about that as we go through our lives and we are having conversations with other people, and maybe they have done you wrong, maybe they have cheated you out of something, maybe that you just don't like their attitude. We are to have love for everyone and think as God does and not put ourselves first and say, well, I got my feelings hurt. I'll just get back at them. No, wrong attitude. But having love for God and others, we humans, we have a big stumbling block. We do have a problem. And that big stumbling block that we have is our own human nature, which has rebellion in it. Rebellion against God, our Father, our parent. Our human nature says, I want to do it my way, which is to satisfy and take care of self first. Oh, you can drive on the highway, and you can see these people. There'll be no cars behind you, and somebody will fly up from behind, and they won't file in behind you. They will speed up and squeeze in front of you, make you slam your brakes on, because they want to be ahead of you. Put self first. And you can pretty much see their character by putting self first in everything else that they probably do as well, too. It's easy to spot that kind of wrong character. But living in this physical life, the heart and mind of all humans, the heart and mind of all humans living in this physical life has been damaged to a certain extent. Satan has seen to that. Him and his demons have seen to that. But, you know, and we are called to be transformed. In our transformation from human thinking, we are still in this physical form, and we do have human thinking. We have to overcome that and live in the character of our Father, our God in heaven. And in order to do that, we must have a healing of our hearts and our minds. We have to have a healing. And that healing comes from God's spiritual food. Make sure that we are getting more and more helpings of that constantly every day. God the Father does the calling and is teaching us the lessons of life. You know, He teaches us. He says, here's your memory work. And we can recite it back to Him. But we must choose to allow Him to live in us and teach us and guide us. That's what was missing in the children that we were teaching in the YES classes. We taught them how to memorize it, but they didn't think they had to do it because they did not choose to allow God to live in them. We were just planting seeds is all we were really doing, planting seeds. But just like those children, we all have to choose to allow God to live in us and teach us and guide us. And the end result of this is the healing of our hearts and our minds. And our character then will be changed to be like our Heavenly Father. Again, there are many blessings and benefits by choosing to live by every word of God. some of those are, you know, we learn to give up on jealousy and hatred. You know, people will have built up jealousies in their hearts, in their minds, from the time that they are just little babies, little kids. Satan jumps right in there, even with the little kids, and they will pick up on things where they're jealous of their brothers and their sisters or friends. And sometimes those jealousies turn into hatreds, where they really want to hurt the other person. We need to be choosing rightly. And to really want to have our hearts cleansed and our minds cleansed, there's a lot of people that don't have the ability to forgive others. God tells us that, you know, if we can't forgive others, then we can't be forgiven. And another person that everybody needs to learn how to forgive is yourself. People will ask God to forgive them of their sins, and they'll get right up off of their knees, and they will take those worries and sins right back on their shoulders, thinking that they're strong enough to work things out themselves on that end of it. When you get on your knees and repent, and you're asking God with a humble attitude and saying a very fervent prayer, God, I've done wrong. Please forgive me of my sins. Have the belief that the price that Jesus paid with his blood covered those sins. Accept the blood of Christ as the sacrifice to God the Father. Get up off of your knees and forget about it and change your ways. Just don't keep doing them over and over again. Work on them. But forgiving others in self is highly important. And as before, by choosing to be obedient to our parent, our Father, our God in heaven, we will have peace of mind and be able to have the happiness for ourselves and our families. Happiness is what we all want. We want peace of mind. We don't want to have to be worried about things. And doing that, we need to turn over our troubles and our battles to God. We're not big enough to do it. Ask God to fight your battles for you. In Romans 12, you know, it shows us what kind of Christian behavior that we should be, what kind of a Christian we ought to be. Let's turn to Romans 12. We're not far from Acts there. Romans 12. Christian living principles here and behavior. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service that we should be doing anyway. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Get out of this world and all the trappings and all the evil that's going on in it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by eating of God's spiritual food every day. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, though through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith, of trust. Trust in God. Faith is trust in God. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but not all the members do not have the same function. No, they don't. We have to remember that different parts of our body here are at different levels of conversion. We need to have mercy on one another, have different gifts. We have different things that we need to do, and to treat other people with complete love and understanding where they're standing in their shoes. Have mercy on other people. Down in verse 9, Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not to yourself. Put other people first, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Yeah, tell each other about it. Comfort each other with the hope that is within us, that Jesus paid the price for our sins and that we are looking forward to being in His family, in His coming kingdom. Patient in tribulation. Yeah, troubles are going to come. Troubles happen all the time. Give your troubles to God. Have Him to work them out for you. Have Him to fight your battles for you. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Constantly. Protect yourself daily by being in constant prayer to God in every decision that you make. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We have to remember, we are all part of this one body of Christ. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We're in this life together. God called us out to be together. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Don't show partiality. Don't say, well, you know, I like this person over here because they're probably rich and they have influence or whatever. Don't show any partiality. Do not set your mind on high things. You know, this is a very short life that we live on. A lot of people have grandiose ideas of what they're going to be doing. Now, it's good to have that in your occupation, that you want to do your best job for you and your family. That's not wrong with that. But the higher things in your mind are, you know, things that you would obsess over. You don't want to be obsessed over anything that much on high things, but associate with the humble, people that are living at different levels. Do not be wise in your own opinion. We all tend to think we're smarter than what we really are. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men and women. Live in peace. Don't have confrontations. Don't look for ways to row up against someone. Don't look for things that are wrong with the other person. We're all at different levels of conversion. There are a lot of things that all of us need to learn over and over again to really get them to our hearts and to our minds. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath where it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the Christian behavior that we all must have. This is the character of God. This is the will of God that we are being taught to live, not our way of doing things. Our Heavenly Father wants to not only bless us as individuals, and He does. He blesses us greatly in this country. Tim was talking earlier that, you know, the whole world is turning into a welfare state, wanting what's in it for them that the government's going to be giving them. Well, you know, our Father, our God in heaven, has blessed us in this country greatly. And it's not because of our goodness. It's from the promises to Abraham that he made, that he keeps. He keeps his promises. It's our collective sins that this whole country is not being blessed, or the whole world is not being blessed. But our Heavenly Father wants to bless us individually and also our descendants as well. God does look down on us if we are in obedience to Him and doing what He wants us to do. Let's go back to Psalms 112. Psalms 112. Let's see, get my right pages here. Psalms 112. Let's read the first three verses there. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who has that respect, who gives honor and glory to our parent, the one that created us and made us into a live person. We need to have that fear and that respect, and knowing that he has the power to bless us or to curse us. He owns us. We don't own ourselves. Who delights greatly in his commandments. You know, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments, keeping God's law, doing what God wants us to do. It's like a loving father. You know, when our kids do something that pleases us, we want to give them things. But when they are blatantly doing things wrong, we can't bring ourselves to give them those blessings. In fact, it would be wrong. It would be encouraging the wrong thing. God feels the same way about me and you. Verse 2, his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. It stands forever. There are blessings for us and blessings for our descendants if we are obedient and allow God to work in us and for us to not want to do it our way, but to do it his way. Yes, we are being called and we are being healed and we are being taught all of the life lessons that we need to become members in God's family. But we are to be planting the seeds of obedience to God in our children, just as we were trying to do with the YES lessons 30 years ago. We were trying to plant the seeds of obedience, but there still needs to be that choosing to allow God to live in us. We are the temple of God. His Holy Spirit lives in us. We want to be obeying God our Father and being like Him. And we need to know the fifth commandment. Our kids need to know the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. There are many reasons why we should and why our children should as well too, as well as the other nine commandments. And not only memorize Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents. Not only memorize that, but we are also to be obeying that and choosing to do that. You know, we have our physical parents, and we disobey sometimes. But we should be learning, our children should be learning the importance of obeying our Heavenly Father. He is our real parent, the one that created all of us. We need to be teaching that to our children, planting the seeds in their mind, so that they know who their father is and who they are really to be like. And as parents, you know, the kids will get the wrong message if we're not living exactly the way that we should be living as Christians. Because to our children, we are like God. Well, you know, if mom and dad can do that, I can do that. Had a neighbor one time. He smoked cigarettes and he told his little boy, never smoke cigarettes. And he's standing there smoking one. Well, the little boy was getting the wrong message. Confusion was there. The little boy growed into a teenager. I think he's like 13 or 14. He smoked like a freight train. Why? Saw the example of his parents. If mom and dad can do it, you know, it's got to be okay. So we need as parents, we need to be setting that right example. Not just to our kids, because most of our kids are grown up, but setting that same example to everyone that we come in contact with. That's shedding the light of Jesus Christ in the character of our Father, our God in heaven. Now, in closing, the question is on each of us. Are we going to be like that little girl that was in our YES classes 30 years ago and say, I only have to memorize the lessons? But that doesn't mean that I have to keep them or do them. Are we going to have that attitude? We have to ask ourselves that question. But just as that little girl's mother was asking her, our Father, our God, our parent in heaven is asking me and you, clean up our living room. How many of us will choose to do it? Good to see everybody.